Mecca Forest.
It was pretty close. I wasn't able to run very far with the wounds he gave me. In fact, I was about to collapse when I heard your fight with the Carnites.
Eva replied,
I don't think it was a coincidence you found us. Fate led you to us. I'm glad you came along, too, because I don't think we would have made it without you.
Clara shrugged and smiled.
I know I wouldn't have made it without you, so we're even.
As we trudged through the snowy forest, I found myself walking between them. We all ended up chatting and joking. I thought it was the first time I had seen Clara really open up. I figured saving each other's lives made it easier to let our guards down, despite the bad blood between elves and dragons. I hoped it would make the Elven Alliance even stronger. After a couple hours, we reached the forest's outer edge. The snow was deeper, but we no longer had to go around trees, climb over logs, or untangle backpacks from creeper vines and snagging bushes. We ended up moving even faster, despite the heavier snow. Hey, I said, does anyone else notice the snow isn't blinding you? I thought it was supposed to be a thing. Snow blind, but it just seems like normal daylight. Clara laughed at me, and I blushed. She said,
Don't be embarrassed. You haven't been in touch with your dragon for long. Once you reached your teens, your eyes adjust to light like a dragon's. Bright light doesn't blind you unless it's sudden, like a flare. Cool, huh?
I agreed. It was pretty cool. I wondered what else I didn't have to worry about. Maybe I couldn't freeze to death either. I hoped not. It was bitterly cold out here, especially when the breeze picked up. Clara pointed ahead and a bit to the right.
There it is.
I turned to look where she pointed, and my eyes grew wide as saucers. There was a huge castle right in the middle of Alaska. Wow, is that really what I think it is? She grinned and nodded.
It's an old elven family holding. We haven't been there in years, so we had no idea the Elden had taken it over. It's huge, though. A castle is awesome and all, but how are we supposed to get in?
Eva asked.
Do they leave the drawbridge down or something?
I was so distracted by the castle that I didn't notice when Clara stopped walking, and I almost ran into her.
Why did we stop? I asked.
Eva asks a good question.
What do you mean?
Eva set her backpack down and stretched her back and shoulders. Clara let her pack slide off, too.
The thing is impossible to get inside. The fortifications are impregnable. Also, it's in the middle of a huge lake.
That wasn't what I wanted to hear.
Wait a minute. If it's impossible to get into, how did you escape? If there's a way out, there has to be a way in.
Eva said,
Unless they blocked off the way she got out. That's what I'd do if I were Eldric.
That did make sense.
So, what now?
Clara smirked, looking like the cat that ate the canary.
I escaped through a door hidden in a wall, and I'm sure they've blocked that off by now. But I know something Eldric doesn't. There's an entire system of tunnels running under both the castle and lake. I don't know it all, but I know how to get in and how to get to the castle. I can lead us through it.
Eva snapped her fingers, looking suddenly excited.
That's perfect! Once we get the elves and trolls loose, we have to get them out, right? We can just lead them back through the tunnels. With any luck, the Elden won't even know they're gone until it's too late.
I said, I think they'll notice so many people moving around. They have to have guards watching the prisoners.
Not if we can give them some sort of a distraction,
Eva said.
If we can do something big enough, they won't be looking at the prisoners. That would be the perfect time to try to sneak them out.
That wasn't such a bad idea, actually. I wonder if showing up at their gate would be enough of a distraction. She shook her head.
I had something bigger in mind. This castle may have walls no one could get through, surrounded by a lake no one can get across, but that won't stop a dragon. I think when Cairo gets back with the Dragon Realms, we can give them the biggest distraction anyone ever saw. They could attack the castle itself from above, while we rescue the elves and trolls.
I felt a little embarrassed.
Of course, I don't know why I didn't think of that. I'm just not used to thinking of things from a dragon's point of view, I guess.
That won't work,
Clara said.
Who knows how many decades or centuries Eldric has had to build up the magical defenses around the castle? They were pretty strong to begin with, and he's had nothing but time to make them even stronger.
Eva grinned, wide enough to show her teeth.
Yeah, but you're forgetting about the Mere Treaty. The mermaids can swim in the lake, maybe even help the elves and trolls to escape. But we can have them focus on breaking down the magical defenses so the troops can attack it.
Clara looked surprised.
You recruited the mermaids? I can't believe it. The mermaids stick to themselves even more than the dragons used to. That's fantastic news. I doubt Eldric is making plans to deal with mere magic.
I replied, yes, it was tough, but we got them to agree to join the alliance. She looked relieved.
That might make all the difference. Mermaid magic is strong, and Miriam isn't the same as Mahir and Tilium. It could even be the strongest magic there is, but it's also the slowest. That's perfect for bringing down the castle's defenses.
I rubbed my chin, thinking. If Eldric didn't think the mermaids were joining us, then he hasn't had time to put in new magic against them, right? She nodded.
That sums it up.
I slid my backpack off and sat on a rock. Now all we have to do is wait for Cairo and the Dragon Army. Then we can launch our surprise attack. The Mermaid Queen taught me how to get in touch with her, and she said they would be ready for our call. As soon as we update Cairo, we can get the rescue started. We only had to wait for about an hour before dark specks appeared in the sky on the horizon. I tried to count the specks, but there were too many. It was the dragons. More of them than I had ever seen before. I jumped to my feet and cheered their arrival. I cheered even louder when Jericho was the first to land. The plant must have worked. Happy to see Jericho once again, I took a step to go greet him. But just then, my head reeled. I staggered as I felt another vision coming on, then toppled over. Queen Desla's words flashed through my mind when I hit the ground. If you have another vision, you'll die. Chapter 22. I fell to my hands and knees, snarling in frustration. If Eldric found us, our cover would be blown and the element of surprise would be lost, just like the battle. And I definitely didn't want to die out here in the snow. I pushed back against the vision, using all of my strength with both my Mahir and Tilium. No matter how hard I pressed, though, Eldric's strength was greater. I could feel him pushing toward my mind, crushing my magic shell as he came closer and closer. His piercing thoughts drove like a nail straight toward my brain, pushing all my power aside. I grew desperate and frantically shoved back at him. He budged, but only slightly, and it wasn't enough. I couldn't keep this up for long, I knew. My vision was black, but as though from a great distance, a light came toward me. I realized it must be Eldric's latest vision, coming for me. My Tilium was gone. My Mahir was almost gone. When that flickered, the vision suddenly sprinted toward me even faster. At the last second, I threw up all my remaining Mahir. I had stopped the vision, but I was sweating with the effort. My strength was about to give out. There wasn't any way I could stop him. I was doomed. Then, through the deep blackness I was floating in, I heard a voice. Eva's voice, and her soft and welcome whisper echoed all around me. It seemed to be coming from everywhere at once, and nowhere.
Cole, fight it. You can do it. I have faith in you. You're not alone. I'm here with you. Cairo is here, and Jericho. Clara is here, and Desla. We're all around you right now, so fight!
Her voice, I heard the love and friendship we shared. I felt warmth and strength flowing through me because of the love and trust they had for me. All of my friends standing around me felt a little different. Memories shot through my mind like movie screens, whizzing by. Each one was a scene from my life. The day Eva and I met. The first time she stood up for me at school. Rylan and Sila telling me they loved me and had faith in me.
Jericho spending long, frustrating hours training me. Desla, teaching me how to use and gather Miriam to protect myself from Eldric's magic. And then, last of all, one flickering movie screen stopped for just a heartbeat, right in front of me. My adopted parents on the day I left them, wrapping their arms around me and crying.
We love you, Cole. No matter where you go, this is your home. You'll always be in our hearts, son.
Eva was right. They were all right. I could do this. I was the keeper of dragons. The fates picked me for this moment, right? It was my destiny to beat him, even when all seemed lost. To save the dragons, my parents, and my friends. To save the world from the time of fear. I felt the water in the air around me. In the vast lake nearby, in the trees and plants that grew from that water. Power was everywhere, surrounding me, more than I could ever need. I drew it into myself, feeling its essence. My flickering Mahir flared into life, shining bright in the darkness. It pushed away the vision Eldric was trying to hammer me with. First an inch, then a foot. I pushed him away from me, away from my friends, away from my people. There was a loud crack, like a thunderbolt, and I knew it was his rage. I shoved him from my mind like he was just a leaf blowing in a typhoon. The darkness faded. When my sight came back, everyone stood around me, supporting me. I looked up and grinned. I had done it. Jericho beamed down at me as I climbed to my feet. He was usually angry like fire or just withdrawn, but now he didn't hesitate to wrap his arms around me in a warm embrace.
"Thank Aprella, you're all right," he said. "I never would have forgiven myself if anything happened to you while I was ill. Those leaves you brought back, the three of you saved my life. Thank you."
"I'm just glad you made it. I didn't have any faith that a bunch of leaves could fix you up, but here you are. I'm glad I listened to you." He grinned at me.
"Yes, for once. Hopefully it becomes a habit."
Then Eva barreled into me, wrapping her arms around me. I looked into her eyes and couldn't help but smile. "Hello there." She wiped one eye and said,
"Don't you ever scare me like that again. I thought we were gonna lose you."
After my magic battle with Eldric, I was starving. They led me back to our makeshift camp, where they stacked tray after tray in front of me, loaded down with food. Once, I would have thought it was too much, but I knew better now. I dug in like I was really starving to death. As I nibbled the last bits of meat off a rib, I looked around at the camp. It was fairly impressive, but half of it was empty. Maybe that was for the mermaids when they arrived. Cairo stood at the tree line with Eva. They faced one another, their bodies stiff and their arms straight at their sides. I smiled to myself, recognizing the nervousness they felt. Cairo reached out and took Eva's hands in both of his and pulled her to him. He wrapped his arms around her. They stood like that for a minute. Then he kissed her on her forehead and walked into the forest, pulling a smiling Eva after him. I was sure they had plenty to talk about before the battle, and I hoped they both made it through it. I didn't know what would happen to Avera Salih if their soulmate died. But then Jericho walked up to me on my left, and Clara came up on my right. It wasn't until they got pretty close that they both stopped mid-step to stare at each other, looking surprised. That was interesting. Taking a few steps back, I watched them. Just out of earshot, Jericho talked softly to her. They both looked nervous. He kept scratching the back of his neck, and she grabbed her left elbow with her other hand. I shook my head a little, not really sure what to do about it. If those two cared about each other so much, they should be together, even if they were from different people. Just because he was a dragon and she was an elf didn't mean they couldn't be together, right? It seemed simple to me. Then again, I hadn't grown up in their cultures, with the bad feelings that simmered between elves and dragons. I only hoped they'd figure it out before it was too late. I grew bored of watching them whisper to each other, so I got busy finishing my food. A couple hours later, I felt like my old self again. I wandered off and found Cairo. He grabbed me by the arm and pulled me to the side. I looked around the field and saw two great armies. Dragons on one side and mermaids on the other. They must have arrived while I was eating everything in sight. I couldn't imagine Eldric fighting off so many of us. But then again, he had beaten the elves and trolls together, stolen their Tilium, taken down Paraiso, and done half a dozen other impossible things. Plus, we had no idea how many of Earth's dark races he had gathered as allies. Maybe we were outnumbered for all I knew. Cairo said, "You have to talk to the commanders. Desla, Jericho, and Jude, and Clara, who's leading what's left of the elves and trolls. Plus the Fairy Queen, since she managed to gather all the scattered fairies together." I grinned at him and he raised an eyebrow, looking confused. I said, "It's like the Battle of Five Armies, our four and Eldric's. Hopefully it ends with us winning, just like in the book." He grinned. "I trust our Book of Aprella more than the book you mean. Ours says you're going to win." "Good point," I chuckled. I waited until Eva let me know the commanders were all together. Then I walked into the tent with Eva at my side. I was nervous talking to so many commanders and members of royalty at once, but they all looked at me with bright, hopeful eyes when I came in. It turned out that since it was she and I destined to drive back the Time of Fear, we'd be the ones in charge, too. I knew I couldn't let them down. I told them our plan to use the tunnels to rescue the elves and trolls, and what we needed them each to do. Together, we worked out the details. Maybe we could have planned it better, but we didn't have time to get fancy with it. The mermaids would take over the lake and hammer away at the castle's magic defenses. The dragons of Realm 5 would swoop in with a surprise attack from above. And then, the last part. Clara would bring Eva, Jericho, and me through the underground tunnel system. I hated the idea of being underground in those tunnels, but it was the best we could come up with. Just as the sun went down, we broke up so the commanders could go instruct their armies, and Clara led us to the tunnel entrance. It looked just like a mouth, too, ready to swallow us up. I took a deep breath and followed Clara inside, just as the battle above began. Chapter 23. I looked around at my little group, burning their faces into my memory in case any of us died on our mission. Clara and Jericho stood arm in arm, while Eva and Cairo stood so close together that their arms touched.
"Clara, I think we're ready. We'll follow you through the tunnels until we reach the middle of the castle. If you haven't found the prisoners by then, we'll come up underneath and see what we can do to help in the battle up there, while you keep searching,"
Jericho instructed.
"Follow me."
She led us a short distance away, stopping at a large boulder. Then she stretched her arms wide to both sides and muttered under her breath. I couldn't understand what she said, but the words sounded beautiful, like a bird singing. As she spoke, the rock's flat face began to glow, and a pattern started to shine. It started as a Celtic knot, and little tendrils of light twisted and turned, racing along as more and more of the knotwork could be seen. At the end, the entire knot formed a beautiful, huge, door-shaped glyph. It suddenly flared, bright enough to hurt my eyes, pulsated, and then in one last bright flash, the entire glyph vanished. It left behind an archway with stairs going down. A cool, wet breeze blew out from the tunnel, smelling of rock and dust.
"Stay close to each other," she said. "These tunnels go on forever. It's one huge maze. If you get separated, I may not be able to find you. We don't have time to stop and look for anyone either."
Cairo said,
"So what you're saying is don't get lost?"
She smiled and nodded, then turned and headed down the stone stairs into the darkness below. Once we were in the dark tunnel, I noticed small symbols all along the walls, and whenever anyone got within a few feet of one, it lit up. The tunnel branches all looked the same to me, which made me nervous. I was even more nervous when we left the main tunnel we had come in on. Instead, Clara led us to the left, then the right. We skipped a few doorways and then turned left again. Right, right again, and another two left turns. If anything happened to our guide, I'd be hopelessly lost. I think we had been walking for almost an hour when the narrow tunnel opened up into a huge chamber. The floor here had been chiseled smooth, and the ceiling was smooth and high, maybe 30 feet above us. Scattered all through the chamber, stretching away into the darkness, stone pillars held up the ceiling. From what I could see, the room had been carved around the pillars, and they were all one stone with a ceiling and floor. Clara stepped out onto that floor, and all around her, the outline of a complicated symbol lit up, just like in the tunnels, but it stretched away and faded into the darkness. She stepped aside for the rest of us to come out of the tunnel, and wherever anyone stepped on the chamber floor, the outlines and the symbol lit up.
"So much for sneaking up on anyone," Jericho grumbled.
"Yes, that's going to be hard," Clara said. "We need to get through this chamber, though. There's another tunnel on the opposite side, just like the one we left, which takes us up into the castle."
I said, "Let's get moving then. The war isn't waiting for us."
I smiled at her and she grinned back. Then she headed out across the chamber. It was nerve-wracking the way the chamber stretched off into the darkness in every direction, like I could easily get lost in a big, dark, featureless sea of stone. I was glad Clara seemed to know the way. We had been making our way slowly across the floor, staying between one row of pillars. I couldn't keep my eyes off them, because every time we passed one, different symbols lit up in a pale blue light, and I could almost make sense of them. It was like each glyph showed one thing, but together, they told a story. I really wished I could understand the writing. Ahead, I heard someone screech. I recognized Clara's voice. I scrambled forward and saw everyone standing together, staring ahead. I followed their gaze to see what they were looking at. My jaw dropped. Up ahead were rows after rows of iron cages, and in each one sat an elf or a troll. None of the cages were tall enough for them to stand up, and I can only imagine the pain of sitting on those iron bars this entire time without being able to stretch out even. Jericho muttered,
"By Aprella."
I was awestruck. I hadn't realized Eldric had taken so many people. Then I realized these weren't even all of them, just the ones who hadn't turned dark yet. The army Eldric must have gathered from them was stunning.
"Let's get them out of there before Eldric realizes we're here," I said.
Clara and Jericho wasted no time. They stormed up to the cages and held their hands to the locks, one after the other. Each time they did, there was a flash of light, and then the door creaked open. If only the elves and trolls still had their Tilium, they could have easily released themselves. It made me angry and sad, just looking at them, locked up like that. I hurried after the others and got busy undoing locks. It turned out to be easy with Mahir. Just will it open, and it did. The prisoners started to climb out, but they moved slowly because their legs and backs were cramped from sitting so long. Before they could get out, though, all the doors slammed shut at once. It made a deafening clang. I looked around in surprise. A terrible cackle echoed through the chamber. The noise bounced off the walls and pillars, making it impossible to tell where it came from. Then a deep voice in the darkness said,
"You didn't think I knew where Clara was? I may not have been able to follow the Keeper, but once she escaped, I knew she'd be back. I knew she'd come through these tunnels."
Clara shouted back,
"That's why you didn't send anyone after me?"
"You fool. You've walked into my trap. And even better, you brought the Keepers with you. Soon this will all be over, and the earth will be mine."
Across the darkness in every direction, we saw lights coming. Dozens and dozens, all streaming toward us. Elden, and they'd be on top of us in moments. Jericho shouted,
"To arms! Stand back to back!"
Clara's high-pitched, beautiful voice rang out and said,
No! Run back the way we came! We can come back later. There are too many of them.
In a panic, we all ran. But we only got a few steps before dozens more lights flared up, coming toward us from the direction of the escape tunnel. Is there another tunnel? I asked. Better lost than dead. Clara nodded and ran off into the darkness in the only direction we saw no enemy lights. After a minute, we reached the chamber's wall, but it was smooth and unbroken. I said, Where are the tunnels? She shook her head.
They should be here. He must have closed them.
Jericho drew his sword.
Then get your backs to the wall. They're almost on us, and we're going to have to fight our way out.
That was wishful thinking. Eldric's soldiers were close enough now that I could make out some of their faces. Some were Elden, others were dark elves, but there were way too many of them. I drew the mirror blade, the sword Desla had given me. It glowed brightly. At least I would take as many of them with us as I could. I said, Eva, I'm sorry I got you into this. She grunted, then said,
There's no one I'd rather be fighting next to. We tried to save the world, but win or lose, what mattered is that we tried.
Eldric's voice rang out again, laughing.
No, what matters is that you died. Soon, friends, I'll dance on your bodies.
The huge crowd of Elden and Dark Elves had surrounded us, but a bunch of them in the middle stepped aside to let Eldric come through. He stopped just outside of striking distance and grinned. I readied myself to charge at him. This was my chance. Maybe I could take him with us. Chapter 24 Eldric and his forces barreled toward us. He had a sneer on his face, his lips curled up to bare his teeth. As his soldiers rushed us, he threw his head back and laughed, and the menacing sound echoing through the chamber sent a shiver down my spine. He held his hand up when they were just about to smash into us, and they stopped and backed up. He looked at us for a long moment without saying anything, but then he said,
I could just kill you all at once. But that seems so much less satisfying than killing you one at a time. Just watching the looks on your faces as one friend after another dies on my blade sounds entertaining. You all irritate me, after all, and where would be the justice in killing you all at once?
I knew he meant it, too. In my mind, I ran through one plan after another, but had to toss each aside. They wouldn't work. Maybe I couldn't save us all, but I thought I might be able to save some of my friends. I raised my chin at him and shouted,
I don't honestly think you want to kill your sister, and the rest of these people simply did what I told them. I'm the keeper of dragons, after all. Why don't you let them go and just take me? When they see what you do to me, all your enemies will know they've been beaten. Kill their spirits. Their hope, and let them live with that. That's the ultimate punishment. Cole, no, don't do it!
Eva cried. Eldric locked eyes with me. He brought one hand up and stroked his chin, making a big show of considering my offer. That's when I knew he was going to say no. It had been a long shot anyway, though. He said,
Or, and I'm just throwing ideas out here. Why don't I just kill all of them one by one, and then torment you? I think it's a better ending than letting them go, don't you think?
He was right. It would be a worse thing than just torturing me and letting them go. I didn't have an answer for him, but nothing I said would have changed his mind anyway. I fixed my grip on the mirror blade and got ready for the fighting to start.
Elden, wait!
Eldric shouted.
I think I'll kill Jericho first. Attack the rest, but don't kill them. Yet. I want them to see them die.
He got a gleam in his eye and strolled toward Jericho while the Elden swarmed toward the rest of us. And the fight was on. My sword cut through the Elden weapons as easily as it cut through them. I didn't know how many I killed.
Three or four at least, but even so, they managed to cut us off from Jericho. He had to fight Eldric alone. The Eldans stopped pressing their attack. They stood between us and Jericho, and there was nothing we could do to help him. We could only watch in horror as he fought Eldric one-on-one. Eldric thrust, but Jericho blocked it and then lunged. He batted Jericho's sword aside and in one smooth movement came around with a backhanded slash. His sword left a deep cut on the dragon's left arm above the elbow. Jericho roared in pain and lunged again, but Eldric blocked the attack and his blade missed by an inch. Eldric swept his blade downward and left another cut on Jericho's right thigh. This time Jericho cried out in pain and staggered back. He was wounded, and I could see he was slowing down. I thought the fight would be over soon and fought the urge to try to cut my way through all those Eldan to go help my friend. I knew that would have been suicide, though. Eldric laughed. He had started to toy with Jericho, adding more cuts but not really trying to kill the dragon. My blood boiled. He said,
"And so falls the mighty Jericho, so-called guardian of O'Connor. How pathetic."
He lunged forward and there was a quick flash of blades coming together. But then Jericho was disarmed, his blade skittering a few feet away on the smooth rock floor. Eldric raised his blade above his head and, cackling like a madman, rushed at Jericho to deliver a killing blow. Clara cried out wordlessly, the most anguished and painful sound I think I'd ever heard, like her soul was being torn apart. She held her hand out at Eldric and Jericho as if that would somehow stop him, and I closed my eyes. I didn't want to see any of it, not Jericho dying, and not her dying inside. But I peeked anyway. I couldn't help it. And yet, it did stop him. His blade came sweeping down in a deadly arc toward Jericho's head, but inches away, the blade stopped, like it had hit a rock. There was a flare, blindingly bright, and at first, I thought Clara had put some sort of a shield up over Jericho. I think all of our jaws must have dropped when we saw that. But I gasped in shock when I realized the bright light covered not Jericho, but Eldric and all of his soldiers, too. Clara screamed, rage and fear in her voice.
"No! I'll kill you, brother! Today, you die here!"
Light streamed from her hand toward Eldric and his soldiers. It got brighter and brighter and then began to push them back as she swept her hand to one side, moving him away from Jericho. I had no idea what she was doing and had never heard of anything like it. From Jericho's shocked expression, I could see he'd never seen it either. Eldric and the Eldan wasted no time. They began to hack furiously at the light that surrounded them. Then one of the soldiers' blades shattered when it struck the barrier. Eldric snarled and screamed in rage. I felt a tug at my sleeve and looked over. It was Eva. She whispered,
"Come on, now's your chance. Let's free the elves and trolls."
We took off, working our way around the blinding light that held the Eldan away. I got to the first cage and put my hand over the lock, willing it to open. There was a brief, faint glow and a click, and the door opened. One after the other, Eva and I let the prisoners escape. Nearby, there was an area that looked like it was for guards, with weapon racks and shelves full of supplies. One of the elves bashed open the locks, then began throwing every sort of weapon to the other elves and trolls as they escaped. Soon, we had a dozen or more armed new friends. Some joined Clara and Cairo, but the others kept passing out swords and spears while Eva and I released more of our captured allies. I realized then that when Clara's shield failed or she ran out of Tilium, it wouldn't matter. The enemy was outnumbered. The only way out for them was to go back the way they had come, up into the castle. Eldric must have realized that too, because he stopped trying to slash through the shield and shouted for the Eldan to retreat. They fled away from us and headed toward the stairwell that would lead them up into the castle. Cairo shouted,
"They're getting away! Clara, bring down the shield!"
"I can't. I don't know how I did it in the first place, or how to bring it down."
Unfortunately, her barrier blocked us from pursuing Eldric. We could only stand and watch as he ran. It only took a couple minutes for Clara's tilium to be drained, but by then our enemy was long gone. Jericho shouted, and then there was a commotion. I turned to look just as Clara collapsed. He caught her before she hit the ground and gently lowered her, resting her head in his lap. I made my way through the freed elves to join Cairo, watching them. Clara looked terrible. Her cheeks were sunken and her eyes were dark with huge bags under them. She tried to talk, but nothing came out. Jericho said,
"Hush. Save your strength. Please. Just lay still."
The corners of Clara's mouth turned up into a weak smile. She took a deep breath and then, with great effort, said in a feeble voice,
"I've always known how you felt about me, Jericho."
"That doesn't matter now,"
he said.
"You need to save your strength. What can we do to help?"
She reached up with one trembling hand and placed her fingertips on his cheek.
"It does matter, more than anything. You've loved me, and I have always loved you, even before you told me how you felt. Nothing has changed over the years. I wish I had been brave enough to tell you."
He leaned down, and she wrapped her arms around his neck as he planted his lips on hers. Feeling awkward, I looked away. They deserved their privacy. Those two had loved each other for decades, or maybe centuries, and they had been too stubborn to say it, too afraid to take a chance on their love for one another. They both had to almost die to make them realize that none of us have forever, and we might not even have tomorrow. I was happy to let them show each other how they felt after all that time. A few seconds later, I heard Jericho standing, so I looked back over. He was helping Clara stand, and Cairo rushed forward to grab her other arm. Together, they got her to her feet. She was still weak, but she could finally stand. I looked around the room and saw all the elves and trolls were armed. And there were so many of them that we had a small army of our own. We could throw them into the battle going on in the castle above us and maybe even make a difference. "Jericho, Eldric is getting away," I said. "There's a battle going on right over our heads. Lead us up into the castle. I think a new army hitting the defenders by surprise ought to make quite a difference. Don't you?" He turned and barked some orders, and quickly got the elves and trolls divided into smaller units. He put two of the smaller squads under each of us, Eva, Cairo, Clara, himself, and me. And we rushed toward the stairwell, out of the dungeon, and up into the castle. What I saw when I came up into the light of day was a total surprise. There was still fighting going on, but it was clustered into little knots. There were enough bodies to account for the rest, and it was clear we'd almost taken the castle. Whatever Eldin and Dark Elves still lived must have fled with Eldric. Eva turned and wrapped her arms around me, burying her face in my shoulder. She muttered,
"It's over. We saved the elves and trolls, and now it's over. We can go back to our lives."
I wasn't so sure about that. Eldric was still alive, after all. But I let her have her moment. All around us, elves, trolls, and everyone else roared, cheering their great victory. Chapter 25. Once the battle was over and the last few Eldin had been swept away by swords and flames, our army celebrated. I was happy to join them. At long last, the threat was over. Eldric was defeated and we could all get on with our lives. Somewhere during all that celebrating, dozens more dragons showed up carrying a feast of food, and the lakeshore camp turned into one big victory party. It had been a close battle, and only Eldric running away in the middle had guaranteed our win. Everyone there had fought, and they'd earned a celebration as far as I was concerned. After I'd had plenty to eat and regained my spent mahir, Cairo and Eva found me while I was listening to a mere soldier talking about the battle.
"Come on," Cairo said. "I guess there's going to be a meeting inside, and they want you and Eva there, too."
I shook hands with the soldier and followed Cairo into the castle. Once out in the courtyard, I was greeted by Prince Gaber and Queen Annabel. King Evander of the Trolls, Queen Desla, and Jericho were also there waiting for us. Gaber said,
Now that the keepers are here, let's all take a seat. We have much to discuss.
There were a dozen chairs nearby, so I grabbed one. We arranged ourselves in a little circle, which I thought was appropriate. Without a table, no one could be at the head. It was just another sign that the alliance was getting stronger. That was a good thing, because I was sure that although the Elden had been chased off, there were still plenty of enemies in the world. Annabelle cleared her throat and then said,
"Fighting together, we've taken a great victory here today, yet there is still much work to be done. Most of the elves still don't have their Tilium. Eldric is on the loose, still working with the Carnites. He has two armies under him, the Elden and the Dark Elves. So many of them escaped they could still cause problems."
"I think we have little to fear from him," Jericho said.
"The Elven Alliance stands as strong as it ever did, and the dragons will keep working to restore the trust we once had. We went down the wrong path under our old king, but Rylan has always valued our alliances."
Desla stood to speak, shaking her head.
"There is still a lot of bad blood between the other races and dragons. Today went a long way toward healing old wounds. But don't make the mistake of thinking that trust is regained because you've joined us for one battle. And Eldric is a master of taking advantage of hidden resentments no one else may have even seen. He has always seemed able to find the weak points, as any elf can tell you."
I wasn't sure why everyone seemed so pessimistic. Well, not Jericho, but probably all the others. It was a little frustrating. I said,
"I agree. The Alliance is stronger than it has been in a long time, and it does still have problems. But I promise you, the dragons won't rest until they fix the damage they did. Anyway, why do we need to talk about these problems right now? We beat Eldric, and he's on the run. All of us will hunt him around the globe, right?"
Jericho said,
"It's only a matter of time until we find him and finish what we started here."
"Definitely. And for the first time since I found out I was a dragon, I don't have this ball of worry in my gut saying everything is hopeless. Now, I see the hope. I think lots of people will agree."
Eva smiled at me, and I could tell she agreed. I continued,
"I know we need to strengthen the Alliance, because there's always going to be another threat down the road. But the time of fear is over, right? For now, I think we should all just take one great big sigh of relief. Just let our people party together, like they used to. The more we do that, the less damage Eldric can do before we finally hunt him down once and for all."
I slammed my fist into my other palm as I said that. Jericho nodded at me, and I could see approval in his expression. I think that look was the best part of my day, besides helping to free the prisoners. And that day, I thought I heard a strange noise and stopped talking. I cocked my head, trying to listen. Then I realized what it was. There was a growing roar coming from our army's camp. At first, I worried it was some new threat, but then I heard a clear victory cheer.
"What's going on out there, do you think?" Gaber asked.
Jericho shook his head.
"There's only one way to find out. I say we take a break and go see."
We got up and headed toward the drawbridge. Once we stepped out onto those old, thick timbers, I saw the mob of soldiers in the field, making a path for... what? I squinted, trying to see well, and caught sight of people coming out of the woods bordering the camp. Gaber shouted with excitement, his voice rising into something like a cheer. I looked at him, confused. He met my eyes and said,
"I can't believe it! It's the ancestors! They've returned! That can only mean our Tilium will be coming back soon, too. They wouldn't have come out if our victory hadn't been total."
Jericho grinned, baring his teeth like a predator, and said,
"Proof that Eldric is finished. He just doesn't know it yet."
That's when the party really got going. It lasted long into the night. We were flying back to Okana, and all the dragons were in high spirits. Eva and I flew side by side, talking excitedly about the battle and everything that had happened. When the dragon flying in front of me stopped, I almost crashed right into her, but I stopped short at the last second. I saw Jericho hovering, long neck hanging down as he looked at something below us. I tried to see what he was looking at. There was a black spot way below on the ground. It had to be really big for us to see it from so high up. I flew over to him and asked, "Is that normal? I haven't seen anything like that before." He looked up.
"No, Cole, that is definitely not normal. I don't know what it is."
I had an itch at the back of my mind that I couldn't scratch. Something about the scene below looked familiar, but I didn't think it was the blackened area. We kept going after Jericho said we'd send Realm 2 out to scout it later. 200 miles farther on, we saw another spot. This one was bigger than the last. Jericho exchanged a worried glance with Cairo, but called for us to continue onward. When we had gone maybe another 500 miles, we spotted a third blackened area, even bigger. At each spot, I had that weird itch at the back of my mind. I told Jericho we should check it out. We flew lower, but when we got close, I saw a weird rock formation nearby. It looked like three big boulders stacked together. That's when it hit me. What had been bugging me? I recognized this place. I realized I had seen the other places, too. "Oh my gosh," I blurted. "I know what these are. I know these places."
"Where do you know these from?"
Jericho's voice sounded tight with worry, and with good reason. I told him, "These are some of the places where Eldric sacrificed trolls. I saw them in my visions. They were all over the earth. Farms, jungles, snow. Everywhere." In his eyes, I didn't see the reassurance I had hoped for. Instead, his eyes grew wide, and he said exactly what I hoped he wouldn't.
"The land is already dying. I didn't think he had killed enough to start it, but apparently he did."
My heart sank. I hadn't wanted to believe it, but when Jericho said it out loud, I knew it was true. "The trolls he killed," he nodded.
"They were enough to cause the environment to start deteriorating. If you don't find a way to reverse this, the Earth itself is going to be nothing more than a wasteland."
Cairo, sounding terrified, said,
"By Aprilla, this is the end of everything. Maybe we won the battle, but Eldric is going to destroy everything anyway. The world will be his if we can't find out how to stop this."
Without looking, I reached out with one wingtip and grabbed Eva's. The day before had been just one small win in the bigger picture. We rushed back to Okana as fast as we could go. I didn't know how much time we had to figure things out, but I knew we would all work as hard as we could to save the world. Again. This has been Keeper of Dragons, The Mere Treaty, by J.A. Colican. Read for you by Zachary Hetrick. Copyright 2017 by J.A. Colican. Production copyright 2018 by J.A. Colican.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.